Well, good morning, church. Welcome to our online service. Today, we're in part two of our sermon series on the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is also called Apocalypse in Greek. And Apocalypse, as we saw, is actually just means opening up of Jesus Christ. And what did we see last week when we opened that first scene is we saw Jesus in the middle of his churches, in the middle of the world. Well, it certainly doesn't seem like that right now. But the encouragement and the hope is that Jesus is still in the center of all things. Now, as we wrapped up that last sermon, I gave you an invitation to open up because Jesus is not only in the middle, he's knocking on your door. And it's up to you to open up your door to see what's going on in the revelation. And how do you open up? I said to you last time, it's all about attitude and preparation. So right now, if you have some things you need to prepare, for yourself, for your heart, to get into entering into the presence of God, I encourage you to just pause the video right now and do so. You may need a physical Bible if you have one. You may want to bring a notebook with you and bring a pen to write down some notes. And if you're still in your PJs and lying down on your bed, I encourage you to wake up and brush up and get a good breakfast and then prepare yourself to enter into the presence of God. Now, before we enter into worship, I'm going to share with you a little preview of what we're going to go through in just a second in Revelations 4 and 5. And I want to give you a preview because I feel like this passage, this opening, is going to really help us to engage in worship. I know right now worshiping through the screen is a little bit awkward for a lot of us. You may be sitting beside your parents right now, or you may be sitting on your own, and it feels really awkward, really timid, and you're really aware of what's going on as you worship. But I want to share with you this scripture from in just a second. And I think this will give you an encouragement to engage in worship. Chapter 4, John saw a throne in the heavens. And of course, there's one seated on the throne, and you will get to that in just a second. Of course, that's God seated on the throne. And here's the scripture I want to share with you. Around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures. So these are heavenly beings. The four living creatures, each of them have six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." These living creatures, the heavenly choir, never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy." They never cease to worship. And when you put that into perspective, you will realize that, hey, worship doesn't begin at 10 a.m. and it certainly doesn't end at 11:30 a.m. It doesn't begin when you press the start button, and it certainly doesn't end when you pause the video. Worship in heaven has been going on from the beginning all the way to the end. And my encouragement today is not just to sing. Of course, sing and engage, but see whether you can join into that heavenly worship. Put your voice into one of those voices in the heavenly choir. So let's pray together as we enter into worship. God, we want to open up our hearts so that we can see more of you as you reveal yourself. So God, I pray that if there's any distractions in us right now that's preventing the door from opening, God, I pray that you'll help us remove those distractions. And God, I pray that you'll open up the eyes of our mind as well, and maybe that spiritual eye, so that we can see part of what John saw, if not all of what John saw. And God, I pray that as we see more of you, we'll be more convicted and we'll be more passionate about you as our Lord and King, and that we'll live it out as in our daily lives in this chaotic world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Coming on the clouds, King and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, this broken heart declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the Lord? Our God is Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him.
Saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, who was at is and evermore shall be. Oh, worthy are you, God, our Lord, God, and King. Receive all the glory and honor and power, for you have made all things. Worthy are you, God, our King and throne above. May you be praised, O worthy, O worthy, O worthy. Worthy are you, God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky. In sea, holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, O blessed Trinity. Oh, worthy are you, God, our Lord, God, and King. Glory and honor and power, for you have made all things. Worthy are you, God, our King and throne above. May you be praised, O worthy, O worthy, O worthy, worthy are you, God. O worthy are you, God, our Lord, God, and King. Receive all the glory and honor and power, for you have made all things. Worthy are you, God, our King and throne above. May you be praised, O worthy, O worthy, O worthy, worthy are you, God. May you be praised, O worthy, O worthy, O worthy, worthy are you, God.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen.
If I asked you a year ago what the word apocalypse means to you, the first thing that you would probably think of are movies like The End Game, or other classic movies that you have watched in the past, Mad Max, or 28 Days Later, that you have seen and enjoyed. and they seem to be at a time so far-fetched and sound like pure science fiction. But now, if I ask you the same question, your answer may be very different. I think you would be very anxious and tell me, what do you think? We are living in the middle of an apocalypse right now. When this virus outbreak first started in China in December 2019, it was an isolated event that happened halfway around the world, and we all felt safe. But what a difference of 12 weeks make. If the thoughts of the apocalypse and that the world is coming to an end has crossed your mind in the last few weeks, I can tell you, you were not alone. Just look at the news. A world out of control. Multiple countries are under full lockdown. People are allowed to leave their homes only to buy food and medicines, commute to work, go to hospitals and banks. The way we interact and work and shop and do almost everything else has been dramatically changed. All school and universities, restaurants and bars were closed. Major retailers have temporarily closed their doors. The streets are empty, just like those in Hollywood movies. Major sports events like NBA, NHL are all suspended. Even Disneyland is closed. And desperate measures have been put in place to put more space between people to try to control the virus. The term social distancing was not even in anybody's vocabulary until a few weeks earlier. And everybody's talking about it, and everybody is trying to practice it. If you're hosting a wedding right now, sorry, no one is gonna show up. A few weeks ago, you would never have thought that you were worried about not having enough to eat. But now, the thought of rationing food or even water may have crossed your mind more than a few times in a day. Across the country, people are waiting in line for food, toilet paper, and disinfecting supplies. And when there are opportunistic viruses, there are opportunistic people who are hoarding resources, trying to make a quick buck. Sanitizers, masks, and wipes were sold online for 10 times or maybe even more than usual cost, if you can even find them. And all these sound so crazy, but perhaps it's just an attempt by desperate people to exert some control out of circumstances that they cannot control. And financially, we are in uncharted territory. The stock market and global economy is in free fall. Many economists would even say we are already in a global recession, maybe even a global depression. While the world is getting more chaotic, your world is also getting more gloomy. You were worrying about your job a few days ago, and perhaps now you have already lost your job and living on EI. You worry about whether you can pay your rent or mortgage if this continues. You worry if you have enough money to buy groceries or care for your kids or elderly family members. You worry about your health, your family's health. You are stressed, anxious, and you wonder who is in control. You try to stand firm like the Bible says, but things are getting more chaotic and gloomy by the hour. Even those who are supposed to be in power in government are not in control. And your hope and faith is diminishing. So, who is in control? Right now, it is this invisible thingy called coronavirus. The word corona means crown. So right now, this virus is our king, and we are scared of it. It's taking control of this world. Although you cannot see it, you can certainly know its presence by looking at the reality that you are facing right now. It's controlling how you live your lives, it's dictating your behavior, it's keeping you in a prison, in your very own home. And you feel more alone than ever. And this virus right now is your new king, and it is in control, and that is the reality. Or is it? In today's sermon, we will continue to look at the book of Revelation, and we are so thankful to be studying this book right now. And one of the very important premises in the book of Revelation is that things are not only as they seem. There is more to reality than the unaided senses. Last week, Pastor Carson kicked off our sermon series, Apocalypse, by opening up the heavenly curtains for us and revealed to us through the Apostle John that Jesus, the King of Kings, is in the middle of his church. And this morning, we will continue to look at the book of Revelation to answer this question: who is in control? You see, this question is not unique to us. The early church at the time of the writing of the Revelation was facing the same question. Who is in control when the church is facing persecution and Christians are being killed and persecuted? Who is in control when the Roman emperor is breathing down your neck? How can the church stand firm when things are out of their control? But remember, things are not always what they seem. There's always more to reality than our senses can detect. And this morning, Jesus will reveal to us through the Apostle John in Revelation, again, what is the real reality. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 4. After this, I, John, looked and behold. Right here in verse 1, John says a very, very important word. Looked and behold. Here, the word behold means look. And John is giving this in the context of a command. In fact, the command look is the most often used command in the book of Revelation. And what did John see? A door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. Look, there is a door opened in heaven. Look, there is a throne. Look, there is someone sitting on the throne right now. Look, there is someone in control. Look, there it is, the control command center of the universe. Even right now, when things seem to be out of control, there's actually someone in control. And what does he look like? So in verse 3, John is trying to describe the beauty and majesty that he is seeing using the imagery of precious stones. Verse 3, "And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald." Jasper is a type of stone that's translucent like glass, both revealing and yet concealing. Carnelian is a stone that changes color depending on how light reflects from it. It changes from color from yellow to green to red depending on the lights. Now these images of stone suggested beauty, majesty, and dazzle, a perfect description of the one sitting on the throne. And John described what he sees surrounding the throne in verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns and on their heads. The number 24 here most likely represents 12 plus 12, the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples of Jesus. So the 24 elders represent the redeemed people of God. And then verse 5, from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. In the Bible, the sea represents everything that opposes God, forces of evil that seek to destroy the work of God. Yes, there is a throne, but in front of it, there's also a sea. But interestingly, it is smooth as glass, clear as crystal. So for those of us who are living in the middle of a chaotic world, pay attention. Look, even chaos and all that is evil is subdued in front of God. Smooth as glass, clear as crystal. So this is so important. God is telling us that He is in control even in the midst of our chaotic world. And this has great implications for us, especially during this unprecedented time in the world. God is telling us there is no need to panic. Do not be afraid. The world is not deteriorating or disintegrating randomly. The world is still firmly held in my hands. And not only that, God has a very important message for all of us. Until now, we're always busy, working, running around, doing things, taking care of everything, both inside and outside of churches, and really never really take the time to look. Perhaps God is using the current situation to tell us to stop, look around, and use this time to sharpen your senses. Look around. Things are not what they seem like. Look. Behold, I'm sitting on the throne and I am in control in the midst of evil and chaos. Look at your life and the world around you with different optics and sharpen your senses. To give you an example, just this last week, the pizza that I have been eating so many times all of a sudden tasted so much better. You know why? Because my senses were sharpened. I'm now looking at things differently in my life. Even things that were mundane and all of a sudden have a different meaning and significance because I am looking through a different set of optics. And as Christians, we can all do that. It is more important than ever, and we need to sharpen our senses. Look at the needs of those around us and see how we can help each other and support each other. This is a time that God has given us to literally take care of our neighbors, to reach out to people in need, help those vulnerable to buy groceries and medicines. Or you might use the extra time at home with your family. Perhaps in the past you have been so busy that you actually rarely have time to spend time with each other. The daily rush of life has come to a complete stop now, and believe me, it is a rare gift. Now, this is not the time to argue with one another and to panic together, but to maintain the unity in the family. Show and teach each other kindness and grace. Stick together as a family to endure these difficulties and steer each other, encourage each other towards our Almighty God. Reflect on the value and mission of your life and your family, because this is a God-given opportunity for all Christians to be the light in a dark world, to offer hope when all the world can see is despair and worry and anxiety. Perhaps many of your friends and families right now have questions about what exactly is life all about? What does it really mean to live? Who is ultimately in control? And I think as Christians, we need to use this time to quiet ourselves and to be prepared when this thing is over. Because we will all be facing a different world. So sharpen your senses. Look, behold, because there is more. In chapter 5, John looked and saw something else. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. There is a scroll right in the right hand of God. And this scroll is a roll of paper containing God's master plan of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. It contains the whole of human history. Our master architect of the universe already has a plan. But what's in it? And who can open it? Then John saw a being. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" Is there someone worthy to open the scroll, not just to reveal God's plan, but to carry it out as well? And John continues in verse 3, "And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." And while John was weeping, one of the elders said to him, "Weep no more. Behold, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals." A lion, of course, a lion. A lion would be strong and powerful enough to tear open the seals. So John looked and he was shocked to see that, and between the throne and 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So that was a lamb, and not just any lamb, but actually a little lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes, which tell us that this lamb is perfectly wise and extremely powerful. And what did this little lamb do? And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. The lamb just took it from the right hand of the all-powerful and mighty God. And something happened with the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures that represents God's redeemed people and his creation. Verse 8, "And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they began singing, and they sang, and they sang, and they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And John continued to describe what he saw and he heard. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And John heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. God is on the throne, and Jesus, the Lamb that was slain and resurrected, is now at the very center of the throne. And his people and his creation are surrounding the throne, worshiping. The whole universe and all the creatures on earth and angels are all singing and praising because Jesus is worthy. He is the only one that is wise and powerful enough to open the scroll. Can you imagine how beautiful that is? Have you looked at something so beautiful, so glamorous, that you cannot stop staring at it? Now, I'm not talking about the first time you met your husband or wife or your girlfriend. I'm talking about real beauty. Like when you look up in the sky, the first time when you look at the Milky Way or some of the galaxies in the universe, and you go, wow. And for a split moment, you just forgot where you are at, because the scenery and beauty is surreal. Yes, it is surreal, but at the same time, it cannot be more real, because that is the reality when we really look and listen. Remember, things are not only as they seem. There is more to reality than the unaided senses. We, as citizens of God's kingdom, have access to that reality. And you may ask me, how do we enter into this realm of reality? Is there a special portal or wormhole that we can go through? What if I tell you the place that you are at right now is that special portal? Whether you are in the comfort of your own home, in your study, in your family room, in the living room, wherever you are right now, you have that access. Because whenever we worship, when we pray and we sing, we enter into that reality. And we can readily join an ongoing worship that is beyond what words can even describe, with Jesus Christ at the very center of it. All we need to do is participate. We humans are highly social. We need interactions with each other. Because of this virus outbreak, we are now sitting in front of a screen, missed each other and interacting with one another in person. However, we as citizens of God's kingdom, we are connected to one another. It may seem like we are in the worst of times, but we are actually in the best of times. A few weeks ago, people in Italy started singing in their own home, in their own balcony. making music, singing the national anthem as a way to defy this coronavirus pandemic. We, as citizens of God's kingdom, need to sing our praises now to proclaim that even chaos and evil is nothing in front of God's throne, because God is always in control. Music is the heart of Christianity. We are facing unprecedented times, and we need music and praise more than ever. Physical isolation is so crucial at this moment. But just as important, it is to connect, and we can make our connection through our worship. I mean, what better way to connect than through worshiping the Lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ? Christians have been doing this for thousands of years in time of peace, and of course, in times like this. We can come together and connect together and participate in this worship. In a moment, we are going to end this morning service with a song. Now, I'm not sure what circumstances you are in right now, but I encourage you to sing out loud. Maybe you just got laid off and you don't know when you will be working again. Maybe you're already battling some illnesses and you are so worried about your own health and those around you. Maybe you are worrying about your education, your future, your finances. Maybe you are dealing with the stress and anxiety of being isolated. Maybe you just have a big fight within your family because everybody is stressed and you feel more lonely than ever. But Jesus is telling you this morning, look at me. Put your focus on me. There is hope. Have courage. I will give you strength every passing day. Yes, you will face challenges. Yes, you will be tested. But you are safe in my arms. Yes, I was nailed on the cross. But right now, I'm sitting in the middle of God's throne. I'm the only one who is worthy and powerful and wise enough to open the scroll. And I am in control.
There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives old doubts away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me the hope of heaven. My highest calling and my deepest joy, you make His will my own. There is a home that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Savior there. Through present sufferings, future's fear, He whisper courage in my ear, for I am everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. There is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the backing grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine, when I behold His face. When suffering cease and sorrows die, and every longing satisfy, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. When suffering cease and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. For I am truly home. For I am truly home. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for giving us hope when the world is in chaos, and when we feel like that we are isolated, lonely, in despair. Lord, you have given us the promise, your promise, so that in you we may have peace. You have said this to your disciples on John 16:33. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Oh, what comfort it is, are your words, Lord. Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ, our King and Savior, not only overcome all sickness and disease, He has the power to overcome death itself. So Lord, we take heart, we pray that we take heart, and we will have the courage to walk in the midst of suffering, to follow your ways, and be the salt and light of this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So before we wrap up today's service, I want to remind you that you can worship through offering as well. And you can go to mykc.ca to find all the information you need. And right now, actually, there should be a screen popped up right now in front of you. And if you look at that left side, there's this strange little symbol. That's a QR code. So what you do, how you play around with that is you take your phone, get your camera app, put it just in front of that QR code, and that will bring you to one of our online offering methods. And that is our credit card online method. And if you prefer to pay with check, you can do that as well. You can just find our address on the bottom of our website, and you can mail a check in that way, and you can worship through offering in these two methods. And if today's online service has blessed you in any way, I encourage you to subscribe to our channel, subscribe to all of our social media platforms, leave a like if you can. And also, if there's any things we can pray for you, we would love to pray for you. So if you can, maybe just type a prayer item in the comment section down below, or you can always find an email and email any of our pastors, and we'll be more than happy to pray for you during this time. So how about I send you off right now with a blessing and benediction from God. So church, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all the circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, and do not despise the word of God. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. We'll see you next week, church.